King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
You are listening to The Beer King Show, the only college football radio show proven to make you smarter about college football.
I don't know if we'll get to games with Buck or not. We'll see. A lot of coaching talk out there. I want to do that first. Charles Arbuckle with us every Tuesday. Buck, I don't understand this putting out Mike Tomlin for the Southern Cal job. He's a very rich, successful head coach making a ton of money at a very stable organization, the Steelers. Why would he want to get into the college game and start begging 18-year-olds to play for him?
Because he doesn't want to, and USC wants to have a big name so they can make other people think big names like Mike Tomlin are looking for that job. I mean, yeah. You know, when I heard that, I was like, you, Bill, really? I mean, you know, we're used to college coaches wanting to go to the NFL, but Mike Tomlin to USC? Yeah. Oh, heck no. I mean, you know, it was a little bit different with Pete Carroll. I mean, some people think, well, Pete Carroll was an awful head coach in the NFL. He really wasn't his first time through. I mean, he didn't have the success that he had coming back.
Right.
But that was a little bit different situation. Mike Tomlin has, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers organization, I think, has done a really nice job of always finding diamonds in the rough. Bill Cowher, Chuck Knoll, and now Mike Tomlin, and then sticking with them, because Tomlin struggled a little bit at times, and he's been able to have a lot of success. He's had a good fortunate opportunity to have Big Ben along that time period. But I think the biggest thing is when I heard that, I was like, I think that's just one that they're putting out there, that it's like you shoot for the stars or you shoot for way, way out of space. I think that's what Mike Tomlin is for USC at this point.
Charles Arbuckle is a Texas kid at heart. He's from the Houston area. Obviously, Houston isn't Lubbock, or Buck, Lubbock isn't Houston. But my point is, you know that state.
Yeah.
Texas Tech fires a guy 2.5 years in, Matt Wells. And again, I'm not there every day, but they're going to struggle down the stretch here. They have a rough finish with the games they have to play. But when they look in the mirror, are they realistic about what they are?
Well, I think, you know, when I was reading those articles the other day, I think they're thinking we're going to get back to where Mike Leach had us when we were, you know, number two for I don't know how many weeks in 2008, right? And I think Kirby does a nice job, Kirby Hillcutt. But I don't know about this one. And maybe there was things going on within the program because, Bill, I called the game there last year and – you know, it was seeming like Matt Wells was on good footing at the time. They were playing Kansas, so it was going to be a game that they thought they should, you know, handle pretty easily. And even this year, I don't know about you, but earlier in the year, I looked up in Kansas, Texas Tech was 5-2 at the time. Maybe, you know, maybe even 5-1. I can't remember, but it shocked me. I was like, oh, Texas Tech. So maybe Matt Wells is turning the corner. But when I think about it now, they forced him to fire Yost, who had been with him, I think, at Utah State. And then when Sonny Cumbie came in, Sonny wants to definitely be a head coach. I can't remember where he was. Either he was at TCU last. I can't remember where he was last, but I know, you know, in your travels, you bump across him. And I think now that they have Sonny on the staff, they were saying, hey, we can just slide him over. He's a Texas Tech guy. He's a guy we've had a lot of success with. I don't know if he's going to be the head coach, but as an interim, it's a guy that knows Texas Tech, and it seems like they were aligned, and maybe Matt Wells just wasn't reaching the boosters the right way. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say when you're on the outside looking in, but there had to be something going on when you fire a guy that's 5-3 at a program where they've struggled over the last few years, even when they've had Baker Mayfield in those locker rooms, when they've had, you know, Cliff Kingsbury coaching them, when they've had all of these different guys, you know, guys that have come through that have maybe transferred to other places, but still a key part of the Texas Tech fabric and football culture. So it's a hard place to recruit, but it's not as hard as it used to be. And they can get kids from Dallas and Houston pretty easily. And I think some of they when they're really going well, they're able to go out to California and poke some kids in Arizona. So I think with the offense that they run, if they can get a few kids on defense that can play ball, that's usually when Texas Tech is pretty good. So I'm interested to see how Sonny's going to finish, because that stretch they have down the stretch here is not going to be easy. I don't care who you are. Heck, Vince Lombardi could come back, and that'd be tough for him even to coach, because they got some teams that are going to really challenge him. Now, if he plays well and his team plays well, maybe that's the guy that they look and consider for their head coaching position.
Josh Arbuckle with us. James Franklin apparently has dropped Trace Armstrong and joined with Jimmy Sexton. What do you think James is doing here?
He's going to see what his true value is. All those rumors for years about James, has it been USC? Has it been, whatever open position that comes open in the off season? He's kind of looked at it, but hadn't done anything. I think you and I both have talked about Jimmy Sexton. He's going to be aggressive in what he does. He's going to find you the best deal. And I think James is at that point to say, okay, as much as I've loved Penn State and this is my dream job, when you lose a game like you just did, or anytime the offense doesn't look good, or when Sean Clifford gets hurt, who are they calling for? James Franklin. So I think this is a value play. Hey, what's my value? What can I get out of this? Are they going to offer me more somewhere else for me to make me to stay here at Penn State, or will I really get an offer that will allow me to leave Penn State? I mean, that way he doesn't have to do it. His agent can do it. And Jimmy Sexton is one of the best in the business, as you well know.
He just lost to Illinois in 9 overtimes, and Ohio State's waiting on him. Interesting timing.
Yeah, that's not a good place to be, right, Bill? But, what's funny about this team, the games, here lately that they're supposed to win, they don't. And the ones you're going to lose, they play well. And so I don't know. I'm curious. I think Ohio State is really starting to figure itself out, which is not a good thing for Penn State or even Michigan. I know Michigan's playing well right now, but, that game is looming, and I can't wait to see how that goes.
Buck, that'd be like you just fought Pee Wee Herman and lost, and Mike Tyson's knocking on your door wanting you to come outside.
Yeah, that's a good analogy. Because you always have a plan, like Mike says, until you get hit.
Right.
And clearly Ohio State looking to hit a bunch of people after they didn't start off so well.
Charles Arbuckle with us. Buck, I've asked you about Clemson numerous times here, even recently on the show, but here's what I'm trying to get at. Is this just a one-year, eventually it's going to happen, droppage, or is this a symptomatic sign of something?
Well, I think the sample size tells us it's only 1 year, because even when they've struggled in the past, they've been able to turn this thing around.
Yeah.
The only concern I have is, do you feel totally committed and comfortable with the quarterback position? I don't know that. That's been the big thing. They've had changes in quarterbacks and been able to withstand, and there's been some gaps. But whether it was, Trevor Lawrence or Deshaun Watson or Taj Boyd, they've had that position pretty well wrapped up. So that's the part to me, is DJ going to be able to turn it around and really get comfortable and play like he should, or that's going to be the X factor. I would say it's just a one-year aberration, but if I continue to see them not be able to manage and understand how to get their quarterback to play at a high level, this could be something that could happen to him for a while. And I think they're so quarterback-driven. That team has been that way, right? They had great weapons. Don't get me wrong. I mean, whether it's Davis or Spiller or guys on the outside, Hopkins. I mean, think about all these guys we see now in the NFL that are playing at such a high level all across the NFL, whether it's Mike Williams with the San Diego Chargers, the kid out of Fort Myers, Florida. Name escapes me, Sammy Watkins. They've had so many great, talented receivers, but think about the quarterbacks that they've had throwing them the football and making plays in the run game, starting with Taj Boyd. So I think DJ is going to really have to – they're going to have to figure out what works best for him and make him comfortable in playing, because he just didn't look comfortable these last few games. He didn't look like a quarterback that was decisive. He didn't look like a quarterback that was an elite player. And until they get him back to that, it's going to be interesting to see if this is just a one-year situation or if it has a kind of a hangover effect. They've got talent. I mean, clearly they have talent, and I don't think Dabo is in a position where he doesn't know how to recruit anymore, and I don't think Tony Elliott is in a position where he doesn't know how to coach. I just think there's going to have to be some real deep thinking and hard decisions made on where they go from here. And if they have another talented player on the bench that can play, that might be what they have to do. Dabo has been just like Nick. I don't think they're afraid to make tough decisions, but I think they're going to have to be decisive in what they do moving forward to help them establish that Clemson brand and culture again.
Couple games here, Buck. The cocktail party down in Jacksonville. Your thoughts there?
I think Florida has Florida's going to play well because it's a rivalry game, I would think. Right. My concern with Florida is they just don't play well on defense, man. And I can't figure them out. I know they can score points, but against Georgia, you gotta be able to play some defense. And I don't know if they have enough. I see Georgia winning that game. I think it'll be close early. I think Georgia pulls away late.
How about Michigan, Michigan State?
Oof. If you can stop Kenneth Walker from getting off, if you're Michigan, then you have a real legitimate chance. I don't.
We lost you. Yeah, we lost you there for a second, Buck. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think Kenneth Walker is the X factor in this game. I really do. I think he is a guy that, for Michigan State, gives them so many different things that they can do. And then defensively, they play well. I think Michigan wins this game, but that's the one game I have. I'm a DVR and watch when I get back because I'm really curious to see how it turns out for the University of Michigan. I think they win that game, but I don't think it's going to be by a large margin. And I also think this, Mel Tucker won't be at Michigan State next year with all the things that are heating up around the country if they can't pay him and keep him in the fold.
Charles Arbuckle joins us every Tuesday talking college football. Buck, appreciate it, man. We'll see you next week, sir.
Hey, Bill, thanks a lot, man. Y'all have a good one. Thank you.
You too. There he is. There's Buck. Charles Arbuckle, always outstanding.